On the Christian calendar this past week was the day of Ascension, when Jesus was lifted on a cloud to heaven. Since it's been said that a hallmark of progressive Christianity is to take the Bible seriously but not literally, this morning I thought I would tell a fictional story that considers whether we can take the Ascension seriously but not literally while still finding inspiration in it. Listen now to the story of the Ascension, taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It reads, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that have been set by God's authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, they he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "People of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." There ends the scripture reading. Every Tuesday night, Rick and Barbara met at a jam session of local folk rock musicians. They each appreciated the music of the other. Both composed their own songs and lyrics. Both were strongly influenced by singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. Rick described Lightfoot as the greatest singer my children have never heard of. Rick and Barbara loved to sing as a duet Lightfoot's haunting but sweet song, The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald. In this song, Lightfoot tells the true story of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald sinking in Lake Superior as all 29 of its crew perished. Rick and Barbara would alternate their singing until they got to the most poignant parts and their voices would blend together as one. Together they sang about the dying sailors as the lyrics asked, "Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours?" Rick was struck by how profound this simple line was. For him, this unanswered question either proved God was cruel or that God didn't exist. Rick thought of this line after a jam session in which Barbara sang a song she had written the previous week. The song was entitled "Riding on a Cloud," and all of its lyrics were an allusion to Jesus ascending and descending to and from heaven. Despite his general disdain for religion, Rick believed it was one of the best songs Barbara had ever written. The first half of the song spoke of the dashed hopes of barefoot farmers. A Savior had come to rescue them from their lives of endless toil and misery, only to ride away up high on a cloud. Barbara sang of how each of their hearts sank as he disappeared in the sky. The second half of the song spoke of the rider of the clouds returning to earth amid shouts of jubilation. The shouts rise up from the factories and the fields, from shacks and shelters along the streets of Calcutta and the dirt roads of Zimbabwe. The bombs of war cease, giving way to a new era of peace. Grass once trampled upon by the boots of war grows green and straight. A new world is born out of the wreckage of the old, In a voice full of gladness, Barbara sang, "Up from the ground where tears did fall, the daffodils rise to the trumpet's call." Rick thought it was odd that he would like such a song. Since the days of his youth, he had never considered himself to be a person of faith. At a certain age, he began to question the veracity of the Bible. He couldn't understand how anyone could believe that Jonah lived in the belly of a whale for 3 days, or that God created the world with 2 humans and no dinosaurs in just 6 days. This is why it felt so strange to find himself completely taken by the lyrics of Barbara's song. Sure, the song resonated with his feelings about the poor and the oppressed, but how is he to explain the appeal of this cloud-riding man from the sky? He wondered how Barbara even reconciled the song in her mind. How is it possible to question the presence of God's love for the drowning sailor 1 minute and then sing about the second coming of Christ the next? At their jam session a week later, Rick asked Barbara whether she believed in the lyrics to her song, to which she responded, "If you're asking me whether I think it's possible to ride on clouds, the answer is no. But if you're asking me whether I believe in standing with the oppressed and hoping against hope for a better world, then the answer is most certainly yes." Rick, like Barbara's answer, it opened the door for him to think about stories like Jonah in the belly of the whale as being more like metaphors than claims about actual events. Still, Rick wanted to know more about Barbara's views, so he asked her what she thought of the Bible. She explained that what helped her put the Bible into perspective was to compare it to an ancient map of the world. She said a long time ago they believed the world was flat and they didn't have satellites circling the globe taking pictures of it. So when they drew maps of the world, they didn't have all the knowledge and advantages that we have today. Still, the maps were good enough that people could figure out how to get to most of the places they wanted to go. If they wanted to fish on the sea or if they wanted to trade with their neighbors to the west, they could. Barbara then continued, "I think the Bible is kind of similar. It can help us get to a lot of places or at least point us in the right direction, but at the same time, we have to realize that we know a lot more about the world. We no longer think there is a heaven just above the clouds." Rick found this a curious answer for a Christian. "So does that mean Christians don't have all the answers?" Barbara laughed and said she didn't think anyone had all the answers. She said, "We have to recognize that despite all the gains in knowledge made by humans, there's still a lot we don't know. Our maps are far from being complete, and we have to settle for the fact that they'll never be complete. In that sense, we're a lot like the disciples after Jesus had died. We're still looking to the heavens for our answers." What Barbara was saying made sense to Rick, but she was driving him toward another question that he had never fully resolved. What exactly did he think of God? Rick knew that what he didn't believe, but he had never figured out what he did believe. For the most part, Rick lived on a daily basis without ever spending much time pondering the existence of God. He was too consumed about the details of living everyday life to consider big questions of this kind. When Rick told Barbara he didn't even know where to begin to try thinking about whether there was any kind of faith he could believe in, Barbara told Rick to just begin where he was at and try to map things out from there. At first, Rick felt like he was lost in a desert with nowhere to go and no sandals to walk in. How could he possibly map things out from there? But then one day he realized that this wasn't completely true. Rick was trying to compose a song and he felt the familiar feeling of being stuck. He had writer's block, and he found himself wandering around the house, watering plants and watching CNN. He couldn't seem to get into a musical groove. Then an inexplicable burst of inspiration hit him. A song came pouring out. With his guitar, he began searching for the notes he heard in his head. For the next several hours, he became lost in creative concentration. When he finally finished composing the song, he found himself looking upward and thanking God. He realized then and there that this gesture of gratitude was something he had always done spontaneously and instinctively, but had never thought much about. Moreover, composing the song had given him the same feeling he counted on having whenever he wrote a song. He felt like he was riding on top of a cloud. The feeling could last for days. This was the payoff for his longings and frustration. He lived for that feeling. He yearned for it. Rick wondered whether he had been living a spiritual life all this time, but had never actually realized it. Maybe Barbara was right. The discovery of his faith could begin where he was at. As Rick looked back over his life, it occurred to him that there wasn't simply one kind of faith in God that either you had or you didn't have. Instead, there were lots of different kinds of faith, even within the same religion. He thought to himself that as one grows and evolves in life, one's faith might die, only to have a new faith replace it. Old conceptions of the Bible and of God could lose their validity, but new and better conceptions could take their place. Instead of living in the spiritual wasteland of outdated and discarded beliefs, Rick suddenly saw himself living in a land of spiritual rebirth. Rick began to think of the Tuesday night jam sessions as an experience of the sacred, perhaps even the Holy Spirit. He didn't fully understand it. He didn't have the certainty of those who read the Bible and feel like they have the key to life figured out. Instead, he realized he now had a faith that embraced the mystery of life and that accepted that life was full of uncharted territory. The next time he sang The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald with Barbara, he realized that he still didn't have an answer to the question, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? But now Rick felt like the question had different implications for his faith. He saw himself as standing alongside the disciples as they looked into heaven with grief and uncertainty in their hearts, unsure of what it all meant. The disciples were in uncharted territory. It occurred to Rick that perhaps the disciples then sang a song, and that in this song they poured all their hopes and longings. An old view of God might have believed that God was everywhere and fixed everything, but in this song a new faith lived, a faith that was real and comforting and ultimately inspired from above. This was the kind of faith that sustained by the Spirit, Rick felt in jam sessions. It was the same kind of faith that began exactly where one was at. It was the kind of faith that Barbara conveyed to him. For this new faith, Rick looked up and gave his sincere thanks. Amen.